revealed or reminded me again that the five sermons, the five discourses that they called them in this day, that Jesus preaches in the gospel according to Matthew. And so God said to me and in my spirit, let's do a not really a five-night revival. And y'all old enough to remember when revivals used to be five nights. Now they'd be one-night revivals because y'all won't come to church with one time a week now. But there are five sermons in Matthew. And the Spirit says, I want you to deal with all five. But I don't know how long it's going to take. But the good thing about it is you ain't got nowhere to go, no how. What we're going to do for the next few months is preach all of Jesus's five sermons in the Gospel according to Matthew. Chavis and Erica, you know now because of YouTube and other innovation, there are a whole lot of preachers preaching other preachers' sermons, stealing them off YouTube and stealing them off Facebook. But the Lord has given me license to preach his word and to preach his sermon. And so this Sunday, and for the next few Sundays, I want to look at the Savior's second sermon that is found in Matthew chapter 10. The King James Version tells us, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Lord, I need to stop. Hold on, Dave. Eric, I just noticed that. Matthew tells us early that Judas going to betray him. It takes about 25 more chapters before he does. But Jesus is teaching us right now, if you just pay attention, your enemy going to show themselves up early. Oh, God, that ain't even in here. If you just stay in the spirit and have a spirit of discernment, your enemy, your Judas in your life, is going to show up early. You ain't got to wait 25 chapters before. God, stop. These 12... Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays. For the workman, your favorite scripture, is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and thereby till ye go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you near hear your words, when you depart out of the house of city, shake off. Somebody say, shake it off. Somebody say, shake it off. Shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. talk today about the Savior's second sermon. And my subtitle today is The Little Commission. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Jesus' second sermon, but is also called The Little Commission. After the Beatitudes, and a priest on the Mount of the Beatitudes, we find ourselves following Jesus to Capernaum. On his way to Capernaum, he heals the first leper. It is found in chapter 8, and it's the first miracle that is recorded in the Gospels if we read it. And then he heals this man that is laid at his feet in a house in Capernaum. We learn there in chapter 8 and 9 that Jesus is a miracle worker. And I guess I need to put a quarter in the meter and remind you that a miracle is a human construct. From where Jesus sits, there are no miracles. Miracles are just supernatural happenings upon which human reasoning has not yet caught up. But from where God sits, anything and everything is possible. Miracles happen when we doubt that God can do it, and he does it, and we call it a miracle. But again, he can do any and everything he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to do it. And when we can't figure out how it happened, how it was on the x-ray one day, how it's not on the x-ray another day, how the car rolled all over and you walked away, you want to call it a miracle. It's just God. And I don't have enough time to walk through chapter 6 through 9, but I want to let you know, if you walk through chapter 6 and 9, you will just see Jesus being Jesus. We ain't got to talk about a whole lot. Don't have time to tell you everybody healed. We don't have time to talk about Jairus' daughter. Don't have time to talk about a centurion soldier. But Jesus, between chapter 6 and 9, is just Jesus being Jesus. I wish I could tell you where he was in chapter 10 and where he preaches this second sermon from, but I don't know, because we left in Capernaum and the Bible doesn't tell us that he even left the city. So maybe this second sermon is preached in Capernaum. What I do know is that after last Sunday when we preached the last chapters of the last verses of the Beatitudes, there was a vote. There had been a pastoral, rather Messiah search committee. Whether you were here or not, we voted him in as our Messiah. John had raised the query, should we look for another? And everybody else voted affirmatively that this is the one that God had sent to save us. And so now in chapter 10, after him being voted in as our Messiah, he comes back to the pulpit and gives us some direction. We get these directions, and that's why we call it the Little Commission, because the Great Commission is going out and preach this gospel into the four corners of the world. But the Little Commission are specific things that we can do right where we are. And one of the things that we have to understand is that we might be able to change and cannot change the whole world, especially what's going on with this global pandemic, especially what's going on in America dealing with police brutality and the disrespect of African Americans in the country. But what we can do is try to affect some change right here in Columbia and South Carolina. And so he gives us some specific things that we can do and that the people of God can do. And the first thing he says is take care of home first. The first thing he says is, I want you, my disciples, to go preach to the Jews and tell them that the Messiah has come. Do not talk to the Gentiles and do not even enter Samaria. Do not talk yet to the Gentiles and do not tell them that I have come, and especially do not go into Samaria and talk to them which are the mixed breed of society. Those who have a dash somebody in between their country and their adjective. And I wondered, Erica, why would the Savior tell his disciples, and why would the first order, Dr. Johnson, be to only teach and preach to the children of Israel? Because I know Paul was commanded to preach this gospel to to the Gentiles. I know Jesus doesn't forsake any of us and doesn't look past any of us. I know Jesus saved the centurion. I know Jesus saved the woman at the well. I know Jesus had saved and preached and talked to others who were not Jews originally. Why would Jesus tell his disciples, don't talk to the Gentiles? Don't talk to the Samaritans? Why would the Logos, the Word of God, why would he restrict his teachings just to his own people? And the word came back to me that he realized that in order to get other people to believe that the Messiah had come, he had to make sure that his own people believe first. In order for us to clean up this society, we got to first get our houses in order. Before we can ask people to respect our lives, uses. Come on, somebody. Uses. Don't know how to spell it, Dr. Johnson, but sure sound good. Uses have got to get our house in order first. For you to expect somebody else to love you, you got to love your brother and love your sister. If you want people to stop killing us, you got to stop killing your brother and your sister. If you want people to talk to you the right way, you're going to have to start talking to your cousin. Ain't nobody want to say nothing to me the right way. In order for us to be an example of what Christian and righteous living is about, and for us to have our lives matter, we got to first respect one another. How we can expect us to get respect from others when we're talking about what you pulled me over for? What you stopped me for? I ain't telling you my name. I'm not giving you my license. That is the cop. Right or wrong, it's the laws of the land. And stop fighting outside the laws of the land out on the streets of America. That's why they got lawyers. That's why they got good judges. You don't win outside. You die outside. And I know we're abused. I know we're profiled. I know we're pulled over illegally. But two wrongs don't make a right. I know. I hear you. I hear my wife. They wrong. They shouldn't even have been pulled over in the first place. I know. But after you know you've been wrong, Jesus says, do that which is light and you shall live. He says, get your house in order first before we can start convincing other people the ways of God. We got to first get our stuff right. Because the only way the Gentiles are going to look unto us, if we stop looking down, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. If we stop looking down at them, how are we going to have them look up if they got to keep looking down because we made them look down because we made them unworthy? How are we going to get the homosexual to come in the church if we caught condemning the homosexual? How are we going to get the adulterer to stop being an adulterer and give them keys back to that other? Help me, somebody. How are we going to get people to stop lying if the POTUS keep lying all the time? How are we going to get respect if we don't respect our homes and our families? Jesus said, before I can send you anywhere else, you got to get yourself right first. And he said, don't you go talk to nobody because you ain't going to embarrass me. Watch the Savior. Because you're now an ambassador of me. You now represent me. And I got to make sure you represent me in the right way. I wish I could go into a whole lot more detail on that thing. But for those of us who are owners and all of us who are supervisors, your whole staff, your teachers mess up, you going down because you're the leader. Your whole nursing unit going down because you're the supervisor. And Jesus says, before y'all let this ship sink, I'm going to make sure y'all know how to row the right way. So he says, let's get our house in order first. Then, as you read the Bible, you know that he didn't allow them to go preach to others. And then And he says, after we get our house in order, he says, all the power I have is at your disposal. He says, use all the power I have at your disposal. The reason why we ain't got no healings going on no more is because we don't use his power. The reason why we're not delivering folk no more and have delivering services no more, because people don't believe in his power. You think, God bless your heart, Ashley, but you think your therapist and that medicine can do it all. But you need Jesus and the therapist. All right? I tell you, I say all the time, and Ian started saying it, and we wondered where Ian got it from. I say, he would say, God, Jesus. And we wonder, why you always say God, Jesus, until I realize that I'm the one. Because I need them both. I'm so bad and so rich, I need God and Jesus all at the same time. I need the Creator and the Savior both at the same time, creating me a clean heart and root. Oh, hey, the right spirit within me. See, we need them both. When God says, I'm going to, he gives them all his power in my name. Don't be going out doing it in your name. Don't be going out doing it in Brooklyn's name. Don't be going out doing it in your family name. Don't be going out doing it so you can get the credit for it. But if you use my name, heaven and earth shall be moved. You can say unto the mountain be moved, and it shall be moved if you do it in my name. And all the power that I have, I am giving it unto you. But you got to use it for the right reasons. He says, you can go heal in my name. You can cleanse the leper in my name. You can raise the dead in my name. You can cast out devils in my name. I am commissioning you, just like when a military officer is commissioned, he is given power of the rank. What's wrong with the church is you don't know what rank you got. You don't know what rank you got. All you think y'all are petty officers. Y'all just think me and Erica and Chavez are generals in here, homie. All y'all got power. All y'all got power. All of us are the priesthood of all believers. You got the power. And if you got the power, use the power. What in the world do you need a car that goes 160 miles for and you only take it 25? You got to test that baby. Oh, let me get in trouble. All right, come on back. You got to use all the power that God has given you. I test mine out. I ain't going to tell you where I test it, but I test it. If it got 160, I'm going to try it one time. And then, after we get our house in order, then after we use all the power at our disposal, watch my Jesus. Erica, Jesus told the disciples before he sent them out, pack light. Hold that right there. He said, pack light. It's right here in the text. I didn't make this up. I am, but I got to press my claim. Thank your sermon. He said, pack light. He said, don't be like Akeem and Simi when they came to America with all that Louis Vuitton luggage, all that stuff that they came. He says, when you go out in my name, don't carry nothing with you. He said, pack light. And I understand why he told them to pack light. He said, don't even take two coats, because you can only wear one coat at a time. He said, you don't need no staff, because the staff is the example of a shepherd. And he says, I am now your shepherd. Just take my name. You don't need to pack no food, because you're going to be traveling a whole lot of time and that food going to spoil. Pack light. He says, the only thing you need to go with you on your journey is my name. And if you go with my name, everywhere you go, there will be somebody in town that will receive you because they've heard about my name. Don't worry about hotel reservations. Don't worry about Hertz. Don't worry about Enterprise. You ain't got to rent nothing. You ain't got to borrow nothing. You ain't got to buy nothing. Just tell them you're here on behalf of the Savior, and they will provide you your every need. He says, pack light. But Erica, because of Jesus, I know there's something a little bit deeper here in the text than just luggage. Jesus is trying to tell us that this religion is a whole lot simpler than we made it. We done packed too much mess and stuff into the church. He is saying we got too many rules, too many ordinances, too many collars, too many wannabe preachers, too many traditions, too much mess, too much got to do this, got to do that, too many rules, too many regulations, too much foaming at the mouth, too much got to speak in tongues. You know, made all this stuff off based upon one scripture. And Jesus is saying, only thing you need to take on this journey is my name. And if you take my name, every door will be opened unto you. Yes, some of the traditions are good. Yes, some of them make sense. Y'all know I still want y'all to move. Y'all gonna march in one day, two steps up, two steps back. One day, on by everybody road, they're gonna wear one time. We're gonna take them back, leave the tag. And you know I love old timey church, but there's just some stuff we just do too much, and we have run people away from the church because we're just doing too much. And he says, only thing that you need on this journey is the name of Jesus. Let me close by making this real, real. On our second anniversary, I can't call her name because she get mad at me, but the woman I live with, and I went, we and I, on our second anniversary, went to Italy, took a tour of Italy, and we went to Rome, and went to Florence, and we went to Venice. And the woman I live with, can't call her name because she'd get mad. The woman I live with told me, just take one bag. It needs to be good luggage. It needs to be sturdy. It needs to be able to roll. But it needs to be able to roll on cobblestone streets. But only pack, Phyllis, one bag. She already knew my packing habits. My wardrobe peculiarities. She knows when we vacate, I've got to have two outfits per day and two pair of underwear per day, just in case something happened. I got to have options, Ashley, when I vacate. But she told me on this trip, we're going to be taking planes, trains, and automobiles, and you need one bag. Because the people in Florence ain't going to know what you wore in Rome. The people in Venice ain't going to know what you wore in Florence. So you can wear, just take some clean underwear. You can wear the same jeans and the same shirt you wore in Rome in Venice. Because the people ain't seen you in Rome. They don't even know who you are. But I ain't listening. And Celicia and Diane, if you're watching, I took one of them cheap bags they give us, you know, at the conventions. And a duffel bag. And I found myself putting the duffel bag on top of the cheap bag. And just as the woman I live with said, the wheels broke. On that little cheap bag, Ashley, they be giving us, you know, at the conventions. And my wheels broke, but I still had a large duffel bag to carry. So I asked the woman that I live with, could I use your good bag to carry my duffel bag? And the woman that I live with, who I paid to bring with me on the trip, said, no, I told you on the pack one bag. I said, but baby, you got the good bag. Let me put my extra luggage on your bag and you carry the lighter bag. She said, no, you ain't going to mess up my good bag. That's a whole sermon for a whole nother day. Don't let nobody put their extra. That's a whole nother sermon right there. Don't let nobody put their extra baggage on your good bag. I can stop right now because a whole lot of us don't let our children, our cousins and them put all their extra baggage on our good bag. And they think we being mean. They think we being rude. Talk about us on Facebook and you done told them what to do. And then they want to scandalize your name and put all their mess on your good bag. I wish I would. So I got mad at the woman I paid these all tickets for first class and all this. And when we got to the train station in Rome, I don't argue with people. I walk away. My daddy taught me that. You don't argue with nobody. Just walk away. And I walked away from the woman who had the tickets. Here I am, man in Rome, Italy. She got the train tickets. Only thing I knew is that we left at 11:55, going from Rome to Florence. But what I failed to realize is that we were in a foreign country. And the signs up on the trains don't read in English. So I'm there in the train station looking for my wife and looking for my train. Because I left her, and when I went back to go find her, she had left. That's another sermon right there. You got to be very careful who you lead, because when you try to come back to get them, they might be gone them. I'm preaching good up in here today, Erica. You had to put another Facebook post. She had gone, y'all. And so I'm asking everybody, where is the train to Florence, Italy? Me no speak English. Where is the train that goes to Florence, Italy? Nobody spoke my language. And in this world, some people don't speak Christian language. That's why you can't share your destiny with everybody. You can't tell God everything God has told you, because they might not understand. But I heard all aboard. Hazel, it was 11:55. And I heard all aboard. And I heard shoo, shoo. And so I just decided, y'all, as crazy as this going to sound, just to get on the train. I didn't know where it was going, and I didn't know what time it was coming back. But I knew that there was a train leaving at 11:55, and so I just jumped on the train. I didn't know what car Phyllis we were in. I didn't know where our seats were. I didn't know nothing, but the train was leaving, and it was on the track. And as I'm walking up and down the aisles of this train, I just happened, by the grace of God, to run into my wife. My wife was on the train looking for me. And I was on the train looking for the woman who had my ticket. That's a lesson right there. I know y'all think it's funny, but it's true. She'll come back next week and tell y'all. I'm on the train looking for the person that's got my ticket, while the person who's got my ticket was on the train looking for me. I'm going to say it one more time on this side. See, y'all understand what I'm talking about. I'm on the train. It's a morning train. Evening train. Might leave too late. I'm on the train looking for the person that's got the tickets. But the person with the ticket was on the train looking for me. I need to press somebody's heart right now. Jesus got your ticket. And he is still out there looking for you. Even though you done walked away from him, he has not left you. He on the train, still with your name on it. So again, he has already paid your train fare so that you can get, hey, from home to glory. Finally found our car. And we went and sat down at our seats. And if you know anything about European trains, some of the seats face forward and some seat backwards. So sometimes you're looking at where you're going, and sometimes you're looking at from where you've come. I said, I don't know why they do it, but sometimes you face forward. But sometimes you face backwards. And depending on your seat, depends on if you look forward or if you look backwards. And then depending on how much money you spent, it depends on what type of car you go in. Whether you're in first class or no class. But you're all going in the same direction. But sometimes you look forward, sometimes you look backwards. And as Cynthia and I were sitting there, we noticed a couple that was sitting across from us, an elderly European couple they were. They were speaking in Italian. And we were minding our own business. And even though they were speaking Italian, we could tell that the husband was cussing his wife out. You ain't got to speak people's language knowing when they getting cussed out. And he was cussing her slam out. And everybody in the car was watching and listening. And what I did was I just grabbed my baby's hand and held it. We ain't say nothing to one another. But in our spirits, we said to ourselves, we might have issues, but they got problems. And we ain't got it as bad as they got it. Every now and then in life, you think your issues are problems, but they just really are setups for a comeback. And every now and then we think our grass ain't as green as our neighbor's. But you have no idea what your neighbor has to do to keep that grass green. And even though you got issues, I promise you in Jesus' name, they ain't as bad as you think. Because somebody, unfortunately, in life is going through stuff worse than you are going through. And when you find yourself perplexed in life, do just like I did. Put your hands in the hands of the person who's got the tickets. Give God praise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. There's a man by the name of Jesus. He is the conductor. Love you.